Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The Rockets are shopping CP3 to anybody who's got the cap room to talk deal, which is about six or seven teams. Six or seven teams have the ability to absorb that kind of a deal. And to give you an idea of how bad it is, even the Knicks don't want that contract. Shams reported they're shopping him to anyone who'll listen. They're throwing, they're begging. In fact, they were saying they don't even need anything in return. Here, just take him. And nobody wants that contract. So, of course, the Rockets have to say, "Nah, Chris never asked for a trade." And Chris has to say, "Nah, I never asked for a trade." You know why? There's no trade market. The Astros are top eight in WAR at every position except two. Second base, where they're 15th, and they've had to play 35 games without Jose Altuve. And first base, where they are 25th, where your primary culprits are Tyler White and Yuli Gurriel.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick Crane in for Fred and A.J. on the Blitz as we start hour three of the program. Aaron Rayburn on the other side of the glass, the master controls. And let me hit you with all of our Twitters. At P. Creighton 1, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 97.5, at ESPN 97.5. Did I miss any?
No.
We're good.
Yeah.
Excellent, Smithers. On the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the text line as well. And, of course, on the Twin Peaks Twitch live stream. I'm not that familiar with Twitch. I'm generally not that familiar with anything that puts my radio face on a video screen. But at least I don't have a voice for print. That would really be bad. All right, so teases coming in. The Texans don't have a GM. They look like a bunch of horses' fannies because they fired their GM without warning, without any kind of real reason other than maybe he wasn't getting along with Bill O'Brien. Instead of getting him somebody to help him, you know, like get him an assistant GM, because they fired Jimmy Ray III 3 months after they hired Brian Gain. They just, you're out of here. And we're going to hire Nick Caserio. That's it. Except you didn't. And you couldn't. And you got your hand slapped trying to go in the cookie jar for tampering. And then it turns out Casario's got some interesting language in his contract. He couldn't talk to you anyway. And he didn't want to give up a first-round pick to get him. Don't blame you. That'd be silly. But now you have no GM. And you have no GM because you fired the guy who you let run your draft. And you fired the guy who you let run your free agency where you didn't really do a whole lot. And now as we're into the summer and it's trade market time, and you know, there's, look, that offensive line is still pretty shaky, and you get somebody like Trent Williams that wants to get traded out of Washington, but you don't have a GM to actually talk deal. You still got Jadeveon Clowney sitting out there on the franchise tag, and you haven't worked out a long-term deal with him. And you know, JD Clowney, everybody wants to look at JD's sack totals and go, "Oh, well, you know, he only had 9.5 sacks. He doesn't have enough sacks." Well, JD was one of the top run defenders in all of football. He had a 92.5 grade from Pro Football Focus, which is extremely high. He's one of the top run stuffers in all of football. Oh, plus he gets to the quarterback. They need to sign J.D. Clowney. They don't have a GM. Then there's this really interesting issue. And I don't know how much of it gets talked about because I don't hear a lot of it get talked about. I've heard about it talked about in this regard. The Texans not wanting to pay both J.J. Watt and J.D. Clowney big-time salaries because they don't want to spend that much money on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe it doesn't make sense to have multiple super high-paid defensive linemen. And J.D.'s deal, you know, if he plays on the tag, if he doesn't, you know, pull Le'Veon Bell, if he plays on the tag, it's almost $16 million. It's all guaranteed. J.J. Watt's due to get $13 million salary this year. And of that $13 million, the amount of salary that is guaranteed for J.J. Watt is $0. Now, I'm just going to use this thing we call common sense. If I'm J.J. Watt's agent, and I know J.J.'s injury history, you know, last year he played the season, the previous 2 years he didn't. There's no way in hell I'm letting J.J. Watt go into training camp without his deal getting guaranteed. Hey, the Texans have the money. They could just say, you know what, it's J.J., we're just going to guarantee this money. But right now, J.J. Watt doesn't have a dollar guaranteed in his age 30 season. So if J.J. goes to camp, and let's say third day of camp, J.J. suffers a season-ending injury, Texans can, you know, cut him and say bye. Hey, third major injury in 4 years. We don't think you're going to be worth $15 million. Yeah, you know what? Talk to us when you feel better. If you're JJ's agent, are you exposing him to something like that? Now, whether the Texans would go straight Machiavellian with J.J. Watt for all he's meant to that team, for him being the face of the franchise, as big a personality as he is in the NFL, do you think they would go, you know, straight hardcore evil Bill Belichick? They give him an injury settlement for a few million bucks and say, hey, you're going to miss the whole season. But right now, $0 guaranteed. And between now and the end of July, I got to believe that's going to be an issue. You know, this was the issue with Dwayne Brown. Dwayne Brown wanted guaranteed money. He wanted a new deal. He at least wanted the Texans to guarantee his 2017 salary and, all right, let's work on a deal for the following year. And all the nonsense at the time was, oh, well, you know, he's got 2 years left on his deal, and the Texans don't talk new contract with anybody unless they got 1 year left on the deal, which is total horse. JJ's got 3 years left on his deal with $0 guaranteed. Total, all 3 years. Do you think that deal needs to get picked up? Do you think JJ's agent's going to be making some phone calls to somebody? I don't know if you call Bill O'Brien. Do you call Cal McNair? I don't know who you call right now. Maybe you're calling them both. Maybe you're, you know, old-fashioned, you know, door knocking and walking in the door and be like, you know me, I represent J.J. Watt. Yeah, we need some money. Guaranteed. Or we're not coming to camp. And doesn't get talked a lot because, you know, the assumption is, oh, well, J.J. is such a team guy. He always puts the team first. He would never hold out. At some point, you got to use your brain. And JJ's got, let's see, $46 million left on his contract, none of it guaranteed. But $46 million. How many of you are willing to take $46 million, throw it in a dumpster, go get some lighter fluid, and chuck a match? Because if JJ gets hurt, he's chucking $46 million. And I don't know anybody in their right frickin' mind that's willing to chuck $46 million for anyone or anything. Let me ask you from this question, you know, JJ's getting married. And good for him. You know, if he and Miss Ojai are very happy together, and by all accounts they are, God bless them that they found each other and they're going to be happy and raise little Olympic athletes their whole lives. Do you think his fiance wants him to risk $46 million over a potential injury, considering his injury history? You know, their GM could be working on this right now, but they don't have one. So while nobody's making trades and nobody's talking to J.D. Clowney, nobody's talking to J.J. Watt either. At some point between now and camp, somebody's going to have to talk to J.J. All right, this is an idea that the XFL has come up with that the NFL should really adopt. Next.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patch Crane in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. And, you know, there's some new information that's coming out about this deal with the Pelicans and the Hawks. So this is, we got some Wojing here. So according to Woj, the Pelinka and David Griffin, the two GMs for the Lakers and the Pellies, when they agreed on the Anthony Davis deal, apparently at the time they agreed that if a third team got looped into the deal finalizes July 6th. Now, if the deal finalizes on the 6th, the Lakers lose $9 million in potential cap space. That's the difference between the 6th and the 30th. The 30th, they still have $32 million. It's about a max slot. But as of the 6th, you only get 23. Supposedly, at the time, there was no third team that was willing to wait until the end of July. But now that Atlanta is into the deal, Pelinka had already given the okay. So the Lakers pretty much walked themselves into Club Vandersex. They got into the machine. They cannot pronounce the safe word. And they are getting the gun with all of the bad things. But they're going to get a t-shirt. Congratulations to Rob Pelinka, Boob GM of the Year. You're already the worst GM of the year, and the year's like barely started. That is so awesome.
I forgot to tell you, we forgot to do the gem of the day.
No! Oh, we need to do the gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Paddock Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, so we're going to go to a new poll that came out recently.
Polls?
Yeah, that not that kind of poll, but close.
That's good. I can't swing on them anyway. I'm way too fat.
How much of a stickler are you for hygiene?
Very much a stickler for hygiene. I have teenagers, and every morning it's shower, dry yourself off, brush your teeth, put on deodorant, go eat breakfast. In that order, both boy and girl, I have to tell them every day because we might forget to brush our teeth or we might forget to put on deodorant. Definitely more with the girl than the boy, believe it or not. The girl's younger and basically she doesn't like mint toothpaste. But if I get her non-mint toothpaste, then there's no issue with brushing her teeth.
Well, you're going to love this. A new YouGov.com poll found out that about 40% of people between the ages of 18 and 24 have not used deodorant in the last month.
You nasty asses!
48% of them think they haven't bought any in the entire year because they don't need it.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it gets worse than that because those 25 to 34 in my age bracket, 31% of them haven't used deodorant in a month.
Damn you, millennials. You
and
ruin 37% everything.
37% of those haven't purchased it in the past year.
You probably aren't going to places like Applebee's either, you dirty, rotten millennials. So busy trying to be hippies.
Yeah, I don't care who you think you are. Matthew McConaughey, whatever. Wear deodorant.
And shave your nasty pits.
If anybody of that 31% or any of these live in Houston, Texas, or Texas in general,
oh God,
you're disgusting. And just ultimate fail. You probably need to have your humanity license revoked because you don't deserve to be in humanity. We'll find a cave, fill all of you with it, and you guys can all smell all together, and we'll just call it the smell cave and leave everybody alone.
Dude, that is, if you aren't wearing deodorant, not only are you disgusting, but you're going to hell. You're going to hell because everybody around you has to smell you. And, you know, your nasty eggs and rotten onions. We all had people in high school, in gym class, who didn't change their clothes. Like, they left them. See, here's a weird thing. My kids go to school in Katy. Okay? They have uniforms. They have a laundry service.
I don't want to know what kind of money you got.
I am the poor person that lives in the rich neighborhood. Yeah. So I'm fake it till I make it, baby. Yeah, I don't make Fred and AJ money. But they have a laundry service. You know, when I went to school in New York, you know, we didn't have uniforms, and we sure as hell didn't have a laundry service. But, you know, there were people that you knew, like, they didn't change their clothes for months at a time. They had the white salt lines going across the shirt, and they stunk worse than when you cleaned up after your dog, and we grabbed one of them and actually threw them in the shower, sprayed them like a bottle of Dawn dish soap, and like washed them in their clothes because they were so filthy. There's not like if you have somebody who, you know, doesn't use deodorant, doesn't change their gym clothes, like they deserve what they get. Where did it become okay to smell like ass? Hey, you know what? Let's go to the club tonight. I'm totally going to pick up 10 chicks. I'm going au naturel. You know, at least put on some Sex Panther. So what if it smells like gasoline? 60% of the time, it works every time. But you can't go with, what are you going to smell? I smell like death. I'm so getting laid tonight. Yeah, you're totally. I hope that's the kind of person that when they get in the Uber, the guy's like, get out. That's horrible. I am putting it on every single millennial to stop being a nasty ass. And I am putting it on every single person who's a Gen Xer like me Teach your freaking kids better. You know, that's one of the weird things. We always talk about, like, you know, when I was a kid, if I talked to my mother like that, I'd have got backhanded across the face. I'd have gone home. My father would have beat my ass. Well, whose fault is it that your kid doesn't have respect? It's yours. You didn't teach them. And those people are in my generation. You know, your kid gets everything. Your kid never has, oh, no, I'm going to do everything for my kids. My kids get everything. Now, I understand, you know, a lot of people my age, we didn't have a lot growing up. You worked for everything you had. You learned the value of a dollar. We used to cut lawns for money. We used to deliver papers for money. We used to shovel snow for money. I understand that's not an option down here in Houston. But today, you know, I see kids, instead of, say, you know, cutting lawns or whatnot, they're out riding four-wheelers. Kids at 15 have driver's licenses. Like, do you know how rich you have to be to let a 15-year-old have a driver's license? You know what a 15-year-old does to your insurance? Yeah, not for me. Not for me. We're all very bad people. Coming up next, getting back into the NFL with our buddy Russell Baxter from FanSided on the Blitz.
I'm not from Canada, but I see a lot of teams. Dismantle up, I know how to handle up. Light the candle up, make you put a banner up.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patch Creighton in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. Joining us right now on the HRMP guest line. Man, I love talking to this guy. Absolutely love talking to him. Russell Baxter, FanSided, ProFootballGuru.com. What's up, Russ?
How you doing, Patrick? How you been?
Doing all right, brother. How's the weather up there?
Gloomy. It's been a rainy couple of days in Cheshire, Connecticut. Not much fun. And, you know, I caught a little of the Travelers today, which is, you know, less than an hour from here. Didn't look like the golfers were having much success, at least early in the day.
Well, you know, it's, 100 degrees down here and humid and sweaty, and thank God for air conditioning. I'll take it over snow all the time. Russ, let's start with the locals. The Texans fire their GM. They identify the one guy who's going to be their new GM, and then they don't get him. So now they have no GM. Are the Texans basically a bunch of dummies running around?
I'm sorry, are they what?
Are they a bunch of dummies running around?
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's something odd about this whole thing, because it sounds like, from all indications, that Nick Caserio wants to come to Houston. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Nope, he apparently does.
Yeah. So I get the feeling, as the weeks go on, we're going to find something more and more and more about this whole thing. And I just wouldn't be surprised if he still wound up there. I mean, that's strictly a guess on my part. But and obviously would probably require some sort of compensation and so on. This seems like, you know, I know New England was going to file a complaint and so on. Then they pulled back after the Texans withdrew. You know, you've seen this before with trades. I know this isn't a trade, Patrick, but I just wouldn't be surprised if it all, quote unquote, worked out in the end. I get the sense it was more the process that was bothersome than the actual request.
Well, as we get through that, you know, the Texans now don't currently have a general manager, and
right.
This is the part of the year where, you know, players become available in trade, and they've got a very important player in J.D. Clowney that's sitting on a franchise tag that they're not discussing a deal with. And then there's the other issue of J.J. Watt doesn't have any guaranteed money on his contract, and we saw how that played out with Dwayne Brown. Is it possible that they've got to address J.J. Watt's contract? I mean, if you're J.J.'s agent, are you letting him go to camp without any guaranteed money at all?
That's a tough call. And I'm wondering if somebody else in the organization isn't going to step up. And, you know, we've already had one interim GM this year in Adam Gase, and now, you know, of course, the Jets went out and hired someone. I don't know. I mean, and listen, J.J.'s coming off a phenomenal year after being hurt the previous 2 years, okay? He's one of the safe to say he's one of the iconic players in this league. But he also seems like a guy who is very much a franchise, a big part of the franchise, and probably he probably understands more what's going on there right now as much as anyone. So that's a tough call. I mean, we all figured, or most people figured, there was going to be some sort of confusion or some sort of issue, you know, once Clowney got the franchise tag. You know, the chances now of him signing, I think, by July 15th to get a long-term deal done, that seems like that, you know, that's going to be tough. But like I said, I'll be curious to see, you know, how the whole Cesario thing winds up playing out. But I always say this, Patrick, even if they do hire someone, you know, within the next couple of weeks, you know, is that enough to figure out these negotiations with these players? I mean, I would hope they have some sort of plan in place now. You know, sometimes the general manager isn't necessarily the guy who does the contract.
No, and especially if we're talking about, like you said, the idea that Nick Cassero does want to come to Houston, you know, that he is likely to be here in Houston next season. You know, his contract will be up, and he'll be free to go do whatever he wants. If they can't work out a deal on compensation, and the Patriots are going to, you know, make him sit in the corner and wear the cone of shame for a year, that next year he'll be here. You're going to hire somebody who's going to have the job for a year?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's like I said, it's an odd situation. And it's funny because it's not odd. I mean, we've seen it a couple times in recent years where a team has fired the general manager after the draft. You know, and conventional wisdom tells you that he and his staff are the people who did all the legwork for the draft. So to dump him before the draft would be so counterproductive. Or we saw it with the Bills. You know, about, I think it was like less than a week after they had the draft in 2017, they fired Doug Whaley. So this isn't unprecedented, but the confusion, let's put it this way, and you hear this all, that this is one of the new cats. It's a bad look. It is. It's a bad look for the Texans. You almost get the sense they thought they had a deal in place. And I don't know this, but that's how it comes off. It seems like they had a deal in place. It seems like they had an understanding. And again, I think this is as much about process as anything else. I still won't be surprised if he winds up down there. Maybe sooner than later. But I think it'll be a matter of compensation.
Russ Baxter with us on the HRMP listener line. Covers the NFL for FanSided. You'll also see him at ProFootballGuru.com. Now, Russ, you've got a bunch of different things going on. NFL Spin Zone, Elite Sports New York. You've got the Pro Football Guru Vibe podcast. Did I miss anything? What else you got going on?
Well, I can cook. I'm great fun at parties. well, I'm also doing WBLZ Media. I, you know, renewed acquaintances with them. The thing we're really excited about, Joey Boyd and I, is the Vibecast. And the last 2 weeks, you know, we've been able to. Julie had an idea about doing some history. Now, I would never balk at sitting and talking about NFL history. You know that as well as anyone. So we had Tom Pollan on from Chicago, who talked about the Bears. Just the other day we had John Turney. I don't know if you know who John is. Researcher extraordinaire. He's the guy, Patrick, who went back meticulously and figured out the facts for all the greats. You know how the sack rule. No official sacks until 1982.
Yeah, that kind of hurts Joe Klecko.
Yes, but John went back and did the legwork between tape, between film, between box scores, and he has the sacks for Jack Youngblood and Deacon Jones and Joe Green and all those guys who played before sacks were recognized. And we had great fun with him. And we've got some surprises down the road in terms of history. Julie and I will be in Canton together doing the Bycast Live, attending all the ceremonies in the game and so on. So if you like history, and meanwhile, Julie and I are also doing our intriguing players for each division. We started our series with the AFC East. Don't worry, we'll get to the AFC South soon enough.
Russ, let me ask you real quick here. The competition committee now has finalized the pass interference review rule. They've decided they're not going to implement any of the tweaks. They're going with the original wording from March. Coaches can now challenge offensive or defensive PI on a call, on a no call, outside of the final 2 minutes of either half. How long do you think it takes for them to get it right?
Oh, gosh. Here's what already bothers me about this, Patrick. It's almost as if, how many times now have we seen, for lack of a better word, addendums to the original rule change? How many times now? Is it twice?
At least.
Yeah, okay. So that concerns me, and that was my concern all along. Making these rules and then enforcing these rules, but it's now late June and you're still tweaking. And I know, I'm almost certain there's going to be an instance that comes up during a game where you're thinking, or people are thinking, they're going to get it right. And there's going to be some other issue that pops up, okay? As much as everybody thinks they have their bases covered, we've seen it with the catch rule. We've seen it with other rules. I just wish they would just leave well enough alone. The reaction that the league has sometimes to either a player, a coach, a fan base, I go back 10 years ago, the league changed the overtime rules in the playoffs because Brett Favre didn't get the ball in overtime. Of course, if Brett Favre hadn't thrown the ball to the Saints late in the game, we would never had overtime. Okay? So I understand read and react and trying to appease and so on, but I just think this is a lot of overthinking going on here, and I give it less than a month until something weird happens. Just something weird. And ironically enough, how weird would it be when the Chiefs and the Patriots play later this year if something weird happens?
That would be the worst time.
Yeah. And by the way, the Rams and the Saints play in week two. Let's not rule that out, okay?
Russell Baxter, fan-sided NFL, NFL Spin Zone, ProFootballGuru.com. Follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru. Russ, always a pleasure, man. Love talking with you. We'll catch up soon.
You got it, sir.
All right, Russell Baxter, fan-sided with us on the HRNP hotline. We'll get you caught up on the NBA draft. I know that we promised you something from the XFL that the NFL should adopt, and this guy's the face of an NFL franchise. He's got a big mouth. Aaron hates him, and I love him. It's all coming up as we wrap up the show next.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, final segment. Patrick Creighton in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. NBA draft, Zion Williamson 1, John Morant 2 to the Grizzlies, R.J. Barrett 3 to the Knicks. The Lakers are on the clock as this deal with the Pelicans is not actually going to finalize until July 6th. So the Lakers are essentially making a pick that will be traded to the Hawks. So if you're watching it and you're wondering why are the Lakers picking, that's why. Interesting thing out of the XFL, they are going to have an extra team. That extra team's not going to play. It's basically going to be like a practice squad team, but it's a whole team. So you got eight teams that are going to play, and then there's a ninth team that will have all guys who are just looking to get into the league that teams could call up should injuries strike, and this way they're in shape, they're football ready, as opposed to walking in off the street. The XFL looks at it from a basically a workers' comp situation of, hey, guys will come in, they won't get hurt because they're ready to play. Maybe that's something the NFL should look into, having full taxi squad teams, and anybody could pick off anybody. I don't think they will, but I think the NFLPA might want to have that for some of the younger guys who aren't concerned about jeopardizing a big paycheck. They're worried about getting into the league. Baker Mayfield apparently not a big fan of the University of Texas, taking shots at Sam Ehlinger and UT. Aaron, you're not a fan of this.
I just think he needs to grow up. I mean,
you hate it. You're a UT guy. You don't want to hear any
UT
nonsense.
Fan. I don't like anything out of OU. But that aside, if this was anybody else, you're 24, about to be 25, and you're calling out and yelling at a 20-year-old. And also in this, he referenced, oh, well, his high school's never beaten my high school. Get the hell out of here.
Man, I love that. You know how many times you go into an NFL locker room and guys who are, you know, were on competing teams in college, they still talk junk about each other?
College
Dude, I love
is one
it.
Thing.
Love it.
College is one thing.
Hey, it's Texas.
You get
man.
To choose college. High school is you go wherever your parents want to live.
It depends on how good that football program is. Maybe they move you into the district. I didn't say that out loud, but maybe it happens. There's a whole bunch of texts I wanted to get to, including one idiot who thinks, well, don't you think you should be concerned about people who can't afford deodorant? If you can afford a cell phone to do the poll, you can afford frickin' deodorant. Okay? It's going to wrap it up for us for today. So no late hits, obviously, as we just did 3 hours on the Blitz. Late Hits is back tomorrow at 7 following an actual episode of the Blitz. He's Aaron. I'm Patrick. You have a great day.
ESPN 97.5.